greetings from El Montecito Presbyterian Church, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find it to be meaningful and relevant. We are located at 1455 East Valley Road in Santa Barbara, California. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us by phone at 805-969-5041 or visit us on our website at www.elmopress.org. And now, may God bless you as you give attention to His Word.
Amen. Please join me in prayer. Father God, thank you for this opportunity to look at your word. Help it to change us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few years ago, I had a conversation with the CEO of a fairly large missions organization. This organization received a sizable donation with the specific purpose of building inroads into North Korea. Now, North Korea is not a country that is friendly to Christians and to missionaries. A recent study says that 1 in every 9 Christians in the world lives in an area or in a culture where Christianity is illegal, forbidden, or punished. 1 in every 9. And North Korea often tops the watch list of persecuted Christians. Anything that takes away from idolizing the Kim family in North Korea is severely punished. In North Korea, persecution of Christians and poverty is rampant. In order to help the North Korean Christians, this mission organization sat down and formulated a plan. This plan would help alleviate starvation and also be able to bring Jesus Christ to North Korea. They thought they came up with a really sound plan. They were going to use this money to build a dry noodle factory. They would feed thousands of people, and these noodles could be stored, and then they would use this as an opportunity to share Jesus in North Korea. The country would let them do this. Now, there was a problem with this plan, that as soon as they sat down with some Christians who had escaped from North Korea, became evident immediately. Now, in the West, at a desk, sitting around a table, the dry noodle factory seemed like a wonderful idea. They would have lots of noodles. They could store them up. They could get them to people. And they could use that as an opportunity to share Jesus. But the problem is, any food store that can be saved for a long time is immediately confiscated by the military. So they decided, after talking with these Christians from North Korea, that they would come up with a new plan. They're going to make a wet noodle factory. Now, wet noodles have very little shelf life. They have to be consumed quickly, so guess who gets to eat the wet noodles? The people who actually need it, and not the military. The solution was so simple and so wise. Create a wet noodle factory. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus tells his 12 disciples when he sent them out on their first short-term mission trip, he said, "I'm sending you out, listen to this, as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves." As we live our lives and share the gospel with the world, our community, our family, our friends, we are called to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. This morning, as we finish up our series on Psalm and Proverbs, I want to talk about where that wisdom comes from. Thousands of years ago, there was a young man in his early 20s who was placed in a position of great authority. He was the newly crowned king of a great nation. This young man was the king of God's chosen nation. Solomon was the king of Israel. At the beginning of his reign, Solomon went to Gibeon, where he offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. Solomon didn't do anything small. And after making these offerings to the Lord, God appeared to Solomon in a dream. God said to Solomon in this dream, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." What would you ask for? World peace? End of the global climate crisis? relief from debt, a new Jeep Gladiator Rubicon edition. Solomon could have asked for anything. God says, here's the platinum card, Solomon, do what you want. Ask me for anything, it's yours. Solomon asked God for wisdom. Solomon asked God for wisdom to serve and lead God's people well. And God is really pleased. What parent wouldn't be pleased with such an answer? So God says to Solomon, I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Would you have asked for a wise and discerning heart to handle life with skill? Now, before you answer this, I want you to think about this. The average adult makes about 35,000 decisions each day. Decisions are such a seamless process, we're not even aware that we're doing it. And some of these decisions are really important. Front of the sanctuary, back of the sanctuary, right? These are those life-altering decisions, right? Actually, some of these decisions are really unimportant. Red orange, tropical mango, blender smoothie, supplement, no supplement, 4 cups of coffee in the morning or 6 cups of coffee, you have to decide. Some of these decisions are really, you know, have this very clear, morally right answer. Do I cheat on my taxes? Do I lie to my spouse? Do I drive over the speed limit? When there's a clear, morally right answer in our decisions, it's not that we don't know what to do. The problem there is actually doing the right thing, right? And then there's another type of decision we face. These decisions are very important because they literally have life-altering consequences. These decisions are challenging because there's no clear, morally right or wrong answer in these questions. Where should we go to college? Once you're there, what do you major in? Who should you date? Should you marry? Who should you marry? Which job should you take? How long should you stay in your current job? Should I change careers? Should I take a new job and move my family all the way across the country to another city? If it's Santa Barbara and Elmo, yes, you should. Is it the right time to retire? Now that the kids are gone? Empty nest, do I need to get a smaller nest? These are the types of decisions that usually are the most important. They change our lives. But they're not easy because they don't have a you shall and you shall not from Scripture to make this decision. These types of decisions can actually be paralyzing and a bit terrifying for us. People don't like making these types of decisions because you're afraid you're going to make the wrong decision, right? Did you know that waiters and waitresses are actually trained in restaurants to patiently wait, and then what do they do once you make your choice? They compliment your choice, don't they? Because they know people are so afraid of making the wrong choice, they're trying to give you a little therapy session right there in the restaurant. In our big decisions, we need a deeper source of wisdom than we can find in ourselves. We need God's wisdom. God wants us to thrive in life. God wants us to flourish. We were made for abundant life. Do you believe that? In the beginning of Genesis, we're told that before God created the heavens and the earth, it was without form and void. That sounds so sterile in the English language. The Hebrew is fantastic. Without form and void in Hebrew is tohu vavohu. Doesn't that just sound like formless and void? Now you know a little Hebrew. Tohu vavohu. You almost have to say it with that sort of trill in your voice, right? But in creation, God brings meaning and purpose out of that formless and void emptiness. God is in the business and still is in the business of bringing meaning and purpose out of the chaos and emptiness that sometimes feels like our lives. Most people today, when you think of wisdom, you think of the ability to answer any question that may come your way, right? We think a wise person is a good one to have on our trivia night team or on our project team at work because they know how to answer everything. But God sees wisdom a little differently. God's wisdom is the ability to make right decisions that honor God and move us towards His purpose in our lives. So God's wisdom is the ability to handle all of life with skill. Wisdom is the ability to understand life from God's perspective and then live God's way. So wisdom is so much more than just collecting and knowing lots of things about God. We can know a lot about God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and God's Word, but we can still make a mess of our lives if we're not wise. We can make a mess of our lives if we don't have the ability to handle life with skill. I heard someone say one time that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. You'll think about that one. In the summer of 2015, you may remember this, a computer hacker broke into a website devoted to connecting men and women together anonymously so they could cheat on their partners. The hacker threatened to release the names publicly if this site didn't shut down. Go hacker. The site actually refused to shut down, and the hacker did release the thousands of names of men and women who wanted to have anonymous extramarital affairs. Sadly, on August 30th, the Sunday that those names went public, 400 pastors in North America resigned from their pastoral positions. These men and women serving in ministry may have known a lot about God and God's Word, but they lacked the wisdom to handle life with skill. And let's be honest, even King Solomon didn't really handle life with skill that often, did he? Solomon didn't listen to God's wisdom when it came to his personal desires and choices. We know from the scriptures, Solomon married many foreign women against God's wishes. He worshiped idols, and he turned away from Yahweh. There's this description of Solomon where he went wrong in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, that I find fascinating. It says that Solomon showed love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt offerings and incenses on the high places. Did you catch that? Except that. Solomon loved the Lord by walking according to the instructions given to him, except that. It's the except that's that get Christians into trouble, isn't it? What are your except that's? We obey the Lord in lots of areas, except that. God's Word, and specifically the book of Proverbs, is concentrated doses of wisdom. It coaches us through the long and difficult journey of life. We're to pay close attention to God's Word because we need wisdom to handle life skillfully. The word for wisdom in Hebrew is also used in the Bible to describe anyone who's a skilled craftsperson. Skilled artists charged with building the tabernacle in Exodus 35 are described as wise. It's the same word, skilled, wise. Sailors and metal workers working with their hands use this craft. It's called wisdom. Women who spun the goat hair with skill. The people who worked with leather and gems and wood, the craftspeople who put together God's holy things had this shakam, this wisdom, skill. The same Hebrew word for skilled craftspeople is that same exact word for walking wisely with God. God wants us to be skilled in life. He wants us to be fully equipped to handle anything that comes our way with skill. God's Word is where we begin that journey. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, and I think it gives us this beautiful description as we close out this series. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in the prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." When we read Scripture, we should begin by asking three primary questions, I believe. Who wrote it? Who was it written to? And why was it written? Who wrote it? Who was it written to? And why was it written? Who wrote the book of Proverbs? Well, Proverbs 1:1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. This section here was written by Solomon. Solomon, the man that God blessed with great wisdom, is the primary author of the book of Proverbs. Others contributed, but Solomon is the principal author. So who wrote it? Solomon. That's right. It's important because we're learning wisdom from someone who really knew wisdom. I think it would be the equivalent of learning to throw a football from, like, Jake Fromm. You guys don't know about Jake Fromm, University of Georgia, go Dogs, okay? It's what you get for hiring a bulldog. Or learning how to play piano from Matthew Roy. You guys know that. There's skill. There's something there. Solomon received his wisdom from God, and now because of Proverbs, we can receive wisdom as well. Who was the book of Proverbs written to? The book of Proverbs is pretty clear about this. It says in verse 4, for giving prudence or shrewdness to those who are simple, just starting out, knowledge and discretion to the young. So if you're young, you have a lot of life-altering, trajectory-changing decisions in front of you, the book of Proverbs, the scriptures are there to help you. I like the way Peterson translates verse 4 in the Message version of scripture. He says, to teach the inexperienced the ropes and give our young people a grasp of reality. We look to God's word to help us make wise decisions. We look to God's word to have the skill needed to live life for God's glory. It's a lot easier to make these decisions early on than to have to go back and clean up the mess afterwards. If you're farther along in life, then the book of Proverbs is for you as well. You don't get a pass. Proverbs 4:5, a little later on, says, let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. We never outgrow our need for wisdom. In fact, the wiser you get, the more you realize you need God's wisdom. So Proverbs was written for anyone who's wise enough to listen and learn, young, old, wise, simple. The book of Proverbs is for all of us. The Proverbs are good news for people who need a Savior because ultimately they point us back to our need for Christ. Proverbs is all about God's grace for sinners, hope for failures, and wisdom for foolish people like you and me. Who was the book of Proverbs? Who wrote, why was this book of Proverbs written? Well, look at verses 2 to 6. In these verses, we have five purpose clauses beginning with the letter, with word four, or two. It could be two in your Bible. For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right, fair, and just, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young, let the wise add to their learning, for understanding proverbs, parables, and sayings of the riddles and the wise. That is why the book of Proverbs was written. It's written to equip us with God's wisdom so we can live every area of life skillfully. Because God's wisdom is practical, it's intellectual, it's moral, it digs deep into the mysteries of life. One of the things I love about Scripture and about the book of Proverbs is that it is so practical and down to earth. There's no sacred and secular divide in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom leaves church here on Sunday and goes into the world on Monday in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs sets out to give us the skill that we need to live life every day for God's glory. The book of Proverbs, if you think about it, touches on how many we read through it in October. Look at all these areas we learned about. Wisdom for the marketplace in the business world, for our relationships in family, friendships, marriage, sex, time management, study habits, productivity or lack of productivity. Remember the sloth that can't be bothered to lift his hand? Proverbs is all about the ability to handle life with skill. That's what Proverbs is about. And there's something unique about this book that I have to really highlight here. Now, there are lots of self-help strategy books out there. Just do a search on Amazon and you will find literally thousands of books claiming to give you the ability to handle life with skill. But let me assure you, none of them has the same foundation as the book of Proverbs, and it's found in verse 7 of chapter 1. Proverbs is completely unique because of this one piece right here. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the theme of Proverbs, right? If you had to put the whole book into one sentence, this would be it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's no true and lasting wisdom apart from a proper attitude and relationship to the Lord. Thriving in life, living skillfully, begins on our knees in worship before God. One of my favorite authors, Annie Dillard, wrote a book called Pilgrim at Tinker Creek. And in this book, she has an eye-opening description of the fear of the Lord. Listen to Annie write this. On the whole, I do not find Christians outside the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT to kill a Sunday morning. It's madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, for the sleeping God may someday wake and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out where we can never return. Fear of the Lord is not a cowering in the corner when God is near and saying, "Oh no, here comes God, I'm in real trouble." Fear of the Lord is an openness to God. It's an eagerness to please him and a humility to listen to him and obey him. Fear of the Lord says, there is a God and it is not me. Fear of the Lord is a reverence and an awe for the awesomeness of God, which is really the only place we can use that word properly, right? The opposite, Proverbs says, of someone who has that sort of awe and fear of the Lord is the fool. Look at the contrast. A fool despises wisdom and instruction. A fool says, I don't need instruction. A fool says, I've got this covered. I don't need God's help. A fool might be a very gifted person, but they don't want to have anything to do with what the author of life says about their own life. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom begins with God, it walks with God, and it finishes the journey with God. When you go on a hike in the mountains or desert, you always begin at the trailhead. In our adventure with God, I believe that the fear of the Lord is the trailhead. The fear of the Lord is a starting point for wisdom, but it's not the entire, but it's rather, it's also the entire hiking trail. Wisdom isn't just a doorway you walk through and you've instantly arrived. Wisdom is placing one foot in front of the other every day, with fear of the Lord, with reverence and awe, with humility, with seeking God's word for how you thrive in life. Fear of the Lord is falling on our knees in worship of the Lord every moment of every day. Are we sitting under God's authority daily, moment by moment? Are you reading Scripture daily? If you need a good plan, send me an email and I've got a couple that I can send you. James 1:5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Wisdom begins by humbling asking God for wisdom. So my prayer for us at Elmo is that we would live lives of wisdom at the feet of our Lord. You want a practical strategy for living everyday life skillfully? I just thought of these quickly, but before you click on that link, ask, is this the wise thing to do in this situation? And by wisdom, we mean fear of the Lord, right? Before you say something to your spouse, your child, your friend, or a stranger, ask, is this the wise thing to do in this situation? Before you send that email, before you spend your money, before you get in your car to drive, before you spend time with your friends, before you say a word or do anything, ask that simple question. Is this the wise thing? Is what I'm about to do going to give God the honor and glory that he deserves? Because wisdom is the ability to handle life with skill, and a life skillfully led gives God honor. What if God's will for our lives is to develop our wisdom and the ability to make all of our decisions in light of His Word? If we read God's Word, if we understand it, if we apply it to our lives, then we are on that path that leads to life. God's wisdom is the ability to handle all of life with skill, and God's wisdom is revealed to us through His Word. Father God, my prayer for myself, for this congregation, is that we would be men, women, and children committed to Your Word, to Your truth, to Your wisdom. So, Father God, may we seek You before anything else in all that we do, all that we think, and all that we say. In Jesus Christ's precious name and for Your glory we pray. Amen.